Okay, let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, and I thank you for each and every lady and girl that was able to make it today. I just pray now for Mary as she shares with us that you would just give her the words that she should say, Lord. We just trust that your Holy Spirit is at work giving wisdom, and we know that as it says in your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, you are here in our midst. And so we just pray, Lord, that as she seeks to share her life with us, Lord, I pray that we would be humble and ready to receive the instructions that she has given. Lord, we're thankful for the Titus 2 example in the Bible, Lord, and so we're just thankful that women of and girls of all generations can meet together and learn from one another. So thanks again for this opportunity. In your name I pray. Amen.
Okay. First of all, okay, this is on Godliness. And at first when I did this, I was like, oh, I was just like, because I'm talking to godly women. And I consider you guys all godly women. So I was really scared because, well, I guess I am a godly woman because we all are, but anyway, I was really scared. So, okay, when I first heard about this, when you first asked me, Julian, I was like, well, I got my days all mixed up, which is common for me. And, okay, and I read this and I thought, oh, the first verse was, Proverbs 31, a godly woman brings her food, or how does that go, from afar. Yeah. And I thought, oh, it was perfect, because we were going to have the potluck, you know, the next day. So I thought, great, because these women are going to make their food the day before, and then they're going to bring it from afar, bring it to the church. I thought it was perfect. And then I realized, no, the potluck is the next Sunday. So, okay, forget that idea. So then I realized it was the next week. And of course, I didn't start preparing for this until a few days ago, because I procrastinate like crazy. I mean, we're talking crazy. And, anyway, when was it Friday? I woke up. Well, I had prepared before that, started to prepare. And Friday I woke up and I was just a basket case. I was like, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna do, you know? I mean, I had the outline that you gave me, which was absolutely great. But still, I didn't know what to do, what to say, you know. And I knew that I was being attacked. I knew that. But I was just like, oh, I was practically shaking, you know, because I didn't know what to say. And then I thought, see, where, talk about scatterbrain, huh? Where are my papers? Okay, here they are. I thought, well, after I did all my stuff, my anxious, you know, I was unstable the whole bit. I just even couldn't concentrate on this. And then finally I thought, well, you know what? God has got this. Mm-hmm. And I thought of the verse. Actually, I looked it up in my concordance about peace, because that's definitely what I needed, was peace. Mm-hmm. And the verse, let's see, where was it? I didn't write that down. Oh, yeah, Psalm 16:8. You ask God for wisdom. It says, I read this out loud, because we're supposed to read God's word back to him, because he gave it to us in the first place. So we should read it back to him. Mm-hmm. And so which was what I did. Said, I have set my ways always, or I've set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. And I was shaken. I was very shaken. And then also, I looked up, it said, you shall keep him in perfect peace. Peace is what I needed. Whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And so I read this back to him, of course, slowly. And I was at peace. Mm. I mean, I was just like, calm. And then I could get back to this, with this, with my Bible. Huge, but it's Word of God. Okay, so then what it said in there, you know, I'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind has stayed on you, and trust in the Lord, the one from Psalm. I have set my mind on the Lord. I will not be shaken. My mind was like a wave of the sea. And it was. And I was on the sea, and I was like a wave of the sea. So that leads us into the lesson. A wave of the sea. Okay, now that's what I'm doing last. Okay. Okay. So first of all, we're reading about this woman. Proverbs 31. You guys have probably all gone through Proverbs 31. Most of it, anyway.
Up to 14.
Yeah. Okay. It is just absolutely excellent. Because I read the whole thing and I just like, well, I've read it before too, but wow. The wife and the mother. We're not all wives yet. But someday we may be. And then we will hand all this stuff down to our kids. But okay, so we're going to learn about the strength and the dignity of this woman today. And she's had many, many achievements. But all of her achievements, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute here, they don't come from any of her, especially her physical appearance, because that counts for so much in today's world. But some of her abilities, she was like enterprising. That's what we're going to talk about later. Also, she was a manufacturer. She was an importer. She was a manager, a realtor, a farmer, a seamstress, a merchant, a wife, and a mother. I mean, she was all those things. I mean, like, well, some of you guys are some of these things, but all of them, I mean, wife and a mother for sure, that in itself is a lot, if you ask me. But most of these came from her reverence for God. But she is a model, and we're not supposed to imitate every little detail. Like, we're not going to be all of those things that were mentioned. Because each one of us has got our own gift. Although, some of you guys have got a lot of them. A lot of them. But We can't all have all of them. So anyway, the verse or the lesson is on a godly woman is enterprising. Okay, well, when I first saw that word enterprising, what did my mind think of? The spaceship, you know, the Enterprise. I mean, is that not what this lesson is about at all? But even though it said it, I still looked it up. Okay. So, enterprising, this is what it said in the dictionary. Enterprising means industrious, taking on an undertaking that requires a lot of effort, having or showing initiative, resourceful, wisdom, you have to have a lot of wisdom, and there were tons more, but these are just some of them. And one example I thought of was at the state fair. If you ever go to the state fair, the parking is, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, you got to park blocks away. Well, some of these people that live around there, they've got these nice big yards, and so they rent their yards out, mm-hmm. and so they get money. Mm-hmm. And that is really enterprising for them. Okay. All right, so we're going to go into the lesson finally here on 14. So we will read it. Have you guys all got Bibles with you? Proverbs 31:14. She's like ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Like the potluck. Okay? She brings her food from afar. And she's like the ships of the merchant. Okay. These are ships. And she's not like a ship, because ships are big. And so you gotta think, why in the world did she get on a ship in the first place? Well, she was going to go to a far place. It was Tarshish, which is, I don't know where it is, but it's far away. And she was going to go on a trip, but it was like a shopping trip. And, well, when we go on a shopping trip, we go to get, you know, who knows, all kinds of different things. Well, she got wool and flax. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I went on a trip, there's no way I'm going to get wool, flax. I mean, whoever heard of such a thing? But that's what she did. Okay. So, there's something beeping.
It's my dishwasher.
Okay. Okay. Got that one. Okay. All right. And I got that one. All right. We are just on a roll here. So then we're going to go to the next one. Well, they're kind of all tied together. Okay. So when she got that wool and the flax in the ship, ships, after they're done with their whatever, shopping trips, whatever, the ship comes back to a port. Okay, well, she didn't go to the port. She went back to her house, her home. And she took this wool and this flax, and took it back to her home. She had a family. And she, what did she do? Probably after she took care of her family. She went out and was looking at a field, and she was figuring out in this mind of hers how many acres to buy, how many, is it going to produce enough? Is it going to bring in all the crops that we need for winter? Is it going to be, you know, all this stuff that you have to figure out? And she figured all that out, and she bought it. She bought a field. Okay, then she has to plant it. Okay, so she bought this field, and she planted a vineyard. A vineyard. Not a garden. Not just a normal thing, what most of you would probably plant. And you guys would probably help, right? So that's what she did. And then she goes back to her house, and with this wool and this flax, well, the wool, she probably had to go out in the field or had her servants go out in the field and get the cotton and the flax. What did they do with flax? They pounded it out and got, tell me what.
I don't know. What's linen made from? Linen made from flax?
Linen is made from flax.
Oh, it is. Okay. I don't know.
So then they had material. Or first they made thread, I believe, thread. And then material. And so she made this thread and sewed it on a spindle, or used a spindle, which I don't know exactly. Some of you know how to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't either. But anyway, so she did this, and she worked late into the night. She was one busy woman. She didn't just sit around. She was not idle at all. She wasn't sitting at home eating strawberries and grapes, and she wasn't sitting around. She was a working woman. But God made work. Where is my quote? Someplace. Oh yeah, this is from Elizabeth Elliot. She says, "Work is a blessing. God has so arranged the world that work is necessary. He gives us hands and the strength to do it." I just thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gave us work, well, especially her, it's really a blessing. Mm-hmm. And he gave us the strength also to do it. So those things were from verses 13, 14, and 16 and 18. And then she had all these kids, you know, that I was talking about in her family. So when you've got kids, even grown-up kids, when you're doing all these things, they're helping you, and you're going to be talking to them. You're going to be talking to them of God's. From Deuteronomy, it says to teach these things to your children when you, how does the verse go from Deuteronomy? When you sit, when you lie down, when you, you know, that verse.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother is teaching their children, as like I'm sure we all do. And not only children, but, you know, all your kids, you teachers, you're teaching your children. Okay. Well, and your flax, okay. Okay, oh, also back to the woman, that woman, she had to have a house, a home for all of these children she had, and servants. I'm sure she had servants, lots of servants. And she had to have a home built, and so she planned for all that, because that's a job. It's part of her working. So she had to have a lot of wisdom. In Proverbs, it tells us about, there's three different places in Proverbs. I have them marked here. There's three different places in Proverbs where it tells us about wisdom, where you have to have this lady, and all of you ladies, I'm sure, have a lot of wisdom to teach all these things to your children. When you're sitting down, you know, all through the day, and then when you rise in the morning, and then all through the day and at night. And we have examples also from at least three women, like in the Old Testament. There is, there's Rebecca. I think she's the first one. This is from Genesis. Yes, this is from Genesis. There's Rebecca. Can I find it? I've got these marks all over in my Bible, as you can see. But I'm not going back to all that. Okay, Rebecca. She was very attractive. And, no, that's not Rebecca. Yeah, it is still Rebecca. And she carried this big a jar, water jar, on her head. And so she went down to the spring, or the well, and got water for the water jar. And this servant came up to her and asked for a drink. And she says, yeah, I'll give you a drink and I'll water your camels. Mm. Well, so she watered the camel, but this guy had 10 camels. Well, so she put down her water jug and put the water in a trough. And the camel drank. But then the other camels had to have water too. Well, a camel drinks, 12 quarts of water, or gallons of water. Okay, so if he had 10 camels, okay. You guys, tell me, so how many gallons does that come out to?
Is this an algebra problem?
Okay. All right, Joanne, this is not for you to answer. Okay. Somebody
that's
else.
124, so you said it was 10 gallons.
Okay, but gallons, it's
120 gallons.
Okay, a gallon is a jug of milk.
Gallons.
Is it? For 10?
I think so. You got 120 quarts?
Not quarts, we're talking gallons.
Each camel drinks 12 gallons?
Each camel drank, oh no, 25 gallons, 25 gallons.
If each camel,
each camel each drank 25 gallons.
Holy cow.
And there were 10?
That's a lot. 250. That's
250
gallons.
250 gallons. Wow. So this lady, Rebecca, had to go back to her spring and fill her water jug. Go back to the spring, bring it back, fill the trough, and the camels drank. I mean, that's a lot of work. Okay. But God would have given her strength to do it. Then there's another one they talk about in Genesis here, Rachel. Rachel was a shepherdess, and she had all these sheep to take care of. And where's my book here? Okay. I found this book, actually, another girl and I did a study on it, on Psalm 23. And, well, I'm not going to read you the whole book. But there was this little bit here I thought I would read. It says that a shepherd or a shepherdess will go to no end of trouble and labor to supply the sheep with the finest of grazing grass for them to graze on, and the richest of the pasturing, so they will have ample winter feed and plenty of clean water. And he will spare himself no pains to provide shelter from storms and protection from enemies and diseases and parasites, which those sheep are so susceptible to. And she says that some people are the same. We need food, we need shelter, we need all these things too. So it's no wonder that Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay myself down for the sheep." And because she did that too, she lived for those sheep. In the morning, she took care of them. At night, she actually did lay down for her sheep. She stayed with the sheep. Can you imagine sleeping with sheep? But she did. And sheep are actually dumb. They look nice and woolly and soft, and but they're really dumb. Like she told this story about there was this one big mother sheep, and she was very obstinate. And she would go, and if the fence had a little hole in it or whatever, and she would go in this fence and try to get out. And of course, all her little lambs would follow, because that's what cats do. They follow what the mother does. And so they would try to get out also. You know, and you go through this barbed wire fence and you get all cut up. But it doesn't matter. She just wanted to get out. And the little ones followed her and got all cut up, and it didn't matter. They just do. And people are like that too. Sometimes a mother will get into who knows what, a lot of trouble. And sometimes the rest of the family will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. And then also some of the things that we do, generations before us, we get a lot of things from our generations before us. And it talks in here, I've got it marked someplace, but I'm not gonna look, but God told us, everything he told us in here is for us. That we're to pass these things on to the generations. So a lot of things that we've learned, I'm sure, came from generations before us. And a lot of them, you know, are good. A lot. But some are not. Mm-hmm. So. Oh, let's see here. Like at my notes because I don't remember. Okay, so we learned, we heard about all that, those three women and how the mother teaches. Whether they know it or not, they're teaching. So we have to do the same. So talk about developing our excellence, our godly excellence. So this woman, even though she did all this stuff, she was going, you know, back and forth all day long doing something. You know, not just sitting all the time, but doing. And all the while she would have been teaching. So we gotta think, what? How did she do this? I mean, what kept her going? She wasn't popping pills. she had to have something. Now we know she had, you know, some of the Old Testament. So we knew, you know, that she was reading God's word and teaching them. But the Holy Spirit had to be behind her and guiding her. And then she had her family and her life. They were her, you know, her mainstay. That was it. She wasn't going out and shopping and getting stuff for her house. And, you know, that wasn't her reason for living. Her reason was her love for God and love for her family. And it's what we should be having also, as women of God, not women of the world, the house. Because like Elizabeth Elliot also said, I didn't write it down, but it was a quote from her, something like, some of you probably even know it. Have you guys ever read anything by Elizabeth Elliot? Mm-hmm. Have you? So do you know anything about what she's, this quote was something about, if there's something you think you need, you probably don't. If you don't have it, you probably don't need it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's it. Okay. So let's pray. Father, you have given us all we need. We might not have everything we want, but we know that you've given us all we need. We have the Holy Spirit. We have you. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And you have given us so many examples. You've given us your word. We have everything we need. And I just pray that you would be with us. You've given each one of us a gift. It's a unique gift that you've given to us. And I just pray that we will be able to use it to honor you. Pray that we'll be able to use it to honor you. So I thank you, Lord. Oh, there's one more thing. I can find it on my phone here. This also. About women. It says, we are women my plea is to let me be a woman, holy through and through, asking for nothing but what God wants to give me, receiving with both hands and with all my heart, whatever that is. So, our heart is what God has given us to do, whatever.